20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What's going on, Packers fans? Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. You can find the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. It is day one of free agency recap. We had Packers news and notes, a ton of moves throughout the league. This is going to be a ton of fun and nobody I'd rather be chatting with. Then for the second consecutive day and the second time today as we're recording this, Justice Mosqueda, find him on social media at JUMOSQ, acmepackingcompany.com, consistently and constantly updating the top 200 board, probably doing it as we speak. Justice, how you doing, my friend?
I am. Had to get Devin Lloyd in there. He just signed right before we got this. We started recording. I'm doing all right. I just spent like 90 minutes reading about this stupid cap mechanic that the New Orleans Saints have figured out. They used it on Alvin Kamara because they signed a running back. And I was like, didn't they just touch the Kamara deal? They're going to keep Kamara. They're going to have two of these running backs that they're going to pay a ton of money to. No, the Saints are sickos and have figured out this new thing. We don't got to talk about it on this pod. I think it might help the Packers in the future. It has to be used in a very certain circumstance. But there's a way basically to get the value to push cap hits forward on a guy who has a void year that you don't actually want to keep. You don't have to guarantee that money, which sounds crazy and sounds illegal, but it's actually possible.
Yeah. Leave it to the Saints. Leave it to the Saints to figure out a cap mechanism like that. They are so far in the salary cap book of ways to manipulate and maneuver the salary cap. They're just coming up with stuff that nobody else even knew existed. So kudos to them. I am interested to see what happens with Kamara. This is totally off topic, but would you have any interest in Alvin Kamara in Green Bay? I don't think it would ever happen, but
I mean, he threatened to retire last time, right? I mean, yeah, that's true. We allegedly called about Achane. Right. So maybe we are more in the market for like a high end, what would you call it? Change of pace back, if that's the type of way we want to go. But it's really been like the higher end guys, right? It's been like Achane is going to cost money.
For sure.
So it's interesting that they're like, go big or go home. If it's a change of pace back, that seems like a weird way to approach it. But yeah, I mean, maybe. I doubt that he wants it to happen. I mean, he seems like he's a committed Southern boy, and he does not want to leave the city of New Orleans. He sounded like he would rather hang out in New Orleans and stop playing his NFL career than be traded somewhere else. So,
I mean, if there is a town that's very similar to New Orleans, though, Green Bay, Wisconsin is as close as it gets to down south New Orleans, if we're being honest. I don't see that happening, obviously, for a variety of different reasons. But there were a lot of things that did happen. And, congratulations to you for spending a bunch of time learning a new rule and learning a new salary cap, adjustment. So, yeah, fun times for you.
Yeah, it genuinely took me like 90 minutes.
We'll get through everything today. And obviously, per Justice and I, per usual, starting out with something obscure. But we've got a ton to talk about, including Rashawn Gary, Elgton Jenkins. We'll get all of that in just a moment. Let's start with the best news of the day, Justice, in that Green Bay and the one and only Brian Gutekunst was able to find a way, and only one person that could have possibly made this possible, the beautiful Jerry Jones, to get a 2027 fourth round pick for Rashawn Gary. Rashawn is a Dallas Cowboy. He did not re-release the hacked image, which is a disappointing aspect at the end of Rashawn Gary's tenure in Green Bay, but he is a Cowboy and Green Bay somehow got a fourth round pick for it.
Yeah, Addy woke me up this morning and said, Rashawn Gary for a fourth round pick. And I said, there's no way. There's no way. I popped up. And I think the first words out of my mouth weren't even, there's no way. Like, I'm thinking it. But I think the first words that came out of my mouth were, what team? Because I wanted to see if she was lying or not. She said Cowboys. And I was like,
maybe.
Hope Texas got it on the site. Because, yeah, I think that must have happened, like, what, like 7 o'clock? My time, something like that.
Yeah, probably around 9:30 a.m. Central Time. Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yep. So that's how my day started off. Shocked we got this high of a draft pick. I mean, their logic must be, wanted him to bounce back. Obviously, Christian Parker was in Green Bay, and his time overlapped with Rashawn Gary when he got his start in Green Bay and stuff too. I think they're betting on something that might not happen, and it's a pretty expensive bet, not just in terms of losing a draft pick, losing that bat in the middle rounds, but you're also paying that, was this close to $20 million, right? Or north of it?
Yeah, I'd have to look at what the remainder is. I don't think they're going to give him any sort of new, you know, kind of contract or anything, I wouldn't think. But
I don't know.
His remaining in Dallas is going to be, 19.5 million this year and 22.5 million in 2027. A fourth round pick to take on that contract. I mean, they didn't have to, take it on is different because Green Bay gets no salary relief by trading him than they would have by cutting him. So it's not like he had guaranteed base salary that they would have been taking on that legitimately would have been doing Green Bay a favor by taking it, but still that they were open to taking that salary and giving up a fourth round pick. The one thing that Rashawn was pretty good at last year was run defense. And we know how much Jerry Jones values run defense. So hey, there you go. Thanks, Jerry.
Yeah. I don't like it for the Cowboys. I love it for the Packers. I don't know how many pluses I gave on the grade at APC because we're grading all the Packers moves.
Yep.
It's A++. It might be 20. It might be 15. I don't know how many pluses. We did it. Yeah, hang the banner.
If I would have given it a firm A+ if they got a 2028 seventh round pick. I would have given it a firm A+ if they got that. Getting a 2027 fourth, add as many pluses as you want, and I'm right there.
Yeah.
Obviously ends Rashawn Gary's tenure in Green Bay. A very interesting, we kind of talked about this on the live show, just roller coaster of a career, kind of two redshirt-ish seasons. Year two was better than year one, got a little bit more playing time. Then had a little bit of a breakout once Za'Darius left, had an 80 pressure season in there, tore his ACL, had a little burst once he came back from the ACL, hit a wall, was really never the same again. High expectations coming off of, when they got Micah to be the number two guy, had the captaincy on his chest, had a decent start to the year. Although, as you had pointed out, and I've talked about in the past, a lot of that was due to Micah Parsons. It wasn't anything that
I've seen the Cowboys fans clipping up the sacks and they're like, these are a whole lot of like cleanup sacks. It's not happening really quick. I'm like,
No. And you've talked about all year, the sacks under what was it? 3.5 seconds, 4 seconds, whatever it was, or I forget the exact number, but he did not have quick pressures. He did not have quick pressures at all. And yeah, just a very interesting career to parse out. Obviously a huge contract extension in there too. I think fair to say overall did not live up to that with some moments mixed in between, but yeah, very, very interesting career that comes to an end in Green Bay.
Yeah, I have some potentially breaking news. I mean, I talked to a source really good on stuff. Was talking to him about something else, and he's connected with the agency and was saying, we're getting Brenton Cox back.
Let's go.
I don't know what deal. I mean, I highly doubt it's on the RFA tender. It'll probably be something less like we saw with who did we get today?
Darren Kennard.
Kennard, yeah, we got Kennard. Sorry, things are flowing so fast. And people are texting me and the whole nine.
You have carte blanche to look at as many texts, and I'm not able to keep an eye on notifications, and things are flying. We're recording this at 9 p.m. Central Time at the end of free agency day. I wanted to try to go as late as possible just in case things would continue to come in at the end here. We just got Devin Lloyd's contract right before signing, but no, you look at as many notifications and alerts and anything as you need to, because who knows what could happen. Of course, as soon as we stopped recording on the live show, 4 hours straight, 4 hours straight of recording, the moment we hit end, Elgton Jenkins gets cut, which we'll talk about in just a moment. But yeah, so if anything comes up, yeah, you monitor all of it, my friend.
Yeah, so we signed what I assume, based off of the verbiage that came out from McAfee's mouth, right? I assume we're signing Kennard to less than the tender, but with the playing time incentives to get him above the tender.
Yep.
And that's why he signed it, right?
It's a compromise.
Yeah, exactly. And then apparently Christian Welch is coming back, right? He's putting it on Instagram, stuff like that. We don't know the numbers for the deal. It'll probably be probably less than what Neiman ended up getting, but probably a similar deal where it's like, hey, here's a signing bonus. And then
John Fitzpatrick is what I call that.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So there, we don't know fully what some of these RFA deals are going to end up being. Brenton Cox, though, I'm working under the operation that he's coming back. A really good source told me that. So.
And he definitely has the ability to make this team. And we talked about it, you know, whether they were going to go after another defensive end, but with Micah hurt to start the year, you've got LVN, Brenton Cox, you know, Baron Sorrell, Colin Oliver. Those are kind of your four working defensive ends right now on the roster until Micah gets back from injury. We'll see if that, I would assume they'll add something else too, either via free agency or maybe via the draft, but yeah, interesting.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see if they can carry six. It'll be interesting to see if Micah starts the year on the PUP list, right? I'm assuming he will, but you know, that's a, we'll see. I don't think it's going to cost a lot to bring back Brian Cox, but he is an option to, you know, be on the roster when Mike is on the PUP list in September and then dump him in October because his salary isn't going to be fully guaranteed. So he's kind of a perfect candidate for that.
Not only Brenton Cox back, as you reported, Darian Kennard back, as you mentioned, Christian Welch back, as you mentioned, Bo Melton also back. Now, you think he was an exclusive right?
He's an RFA. Like, he was, was going to come back.
Yeah, assume, but I guess officially official, or I guess not even that, but Easton Butler had that he's, I guess, signed that. So not unexpected. Like you said, ERFAs are basically just house money. Minimum everyone deal. Comes back.
They don't even count against the cap in the summer. So
yeah, easy to do. But yeah, Bo Melton as well. And then the big one that we didn't get a chance to talk about on the live show and have not had the opportunity to talk about yet, Elgton Jenkins does officially get released. They don't mess around. They don't hang on to it. They don't do the Jair. They don't see if they can pick up a draft pick later. It's interesting because if you would have told me at the beginning of the day they got a draft pick for somebody, I think I would have led myself more to believe that it would be for Elgton and that Gary would have been the one that was released. Yet here we are. Gary gets a fourth. Elgton gets released, and they now have the salary cap space available for whatever.
Yeah. The team positioned itself pretty well going into free agency to kind of just sit back. Like, they don't need this cap space right now if they're not going to spend it, right? So the fact that they cleared it and they cleared it this late, I mean, they cleared it midway through the day.
Yep.
Right? Some of the free agency money was already spent. I think they're thinking about, you know, whether, I mean, they could use it on extensions or something like that. You could also borrow from the future to make up that cap space and things. You could extend Wyatt. That's a way to make up cap space. You can do something with the Nate Hobbs deal if you think that he has trade value. I think it's interesting. I think the directions that this can go are a lot of different ways. Sticking out like a sore thumb on the available free agents list, and maybe this won't even be the case by the time this comes out, is Tariq Woolen at cornerback. I think two preconceived notions coming into this free agency market that I think have been shattered by the league. And it's really the first time the league has kind of clawed some of this stuff back and prices haven't just continued to rise. It's that an average linebacker doesn't cost $15 million per, and an average corner doesn't cost $18 million per, which were the prices last year. And just because the cap is going up doesn't mean those prices are going up. I think there's only one corner who's gotten $18 million per this year, and it was Alante Taylor. And that's what Paulson Adebo got with a broken leg last year.
A lot of those guys did. It was like the going rate for corners. It was like 17 and a half, $18 million. Yeah, so for sure.
So that's very interesting. So I don't even know what the cost of Tariq Woolen is right now. I've heard Green Bay is involved in those conversations. So that's potentially one. So if we burn a pick, he was the guy that, I mean, we just talked about this. We talked about it during the live stream. I talked about it with you and Perry yesterday. I was like, the two guys that make sense are Tariq Woolen and Jalen Watson. If the Packers are going to burn a pick, right, a comp pick.
That's the one.
And sign a free agent. Those are the guys who make the most sense because your holes right now are at corner and on the defensive line, and there's not a defensive lineman worth burning a pick that high, right?
Nope.
And I don't even know if you could sign one to a contract. I mean, I guess you could hand over whatever a contract. I don't know if any guy is asking for a deal that big. So that's an interesting one. We have all the Jalen Carter stuff that's floating around, which apparently it doesn't have to do with the Jalen Phillips thing, which, like, now I'm worried, right? Because, like, that was the narrative when they started chopping him at the beginning was, hey, they want to get off of Carter because – they want to make room for Jalen Phillips. Well, now Jalen Phillips is signed somewhere else, and they still want to move off of Carter. And I'm like, okay, so what's wrong with Carter?
Yep.
Right? Like,
unless they're going Hendrickson shopping, and like if that's their backup to Phillips maybe. Or something. But other than that, I'm with you because first of all, you had the sort of draft situation where he fell further than expected. And then there was the buzz last year that the Eagles offered Jalen Carter for Micah to try to get Micah. So there was the trade stuff last year that they were willing to move off of him. And I mean, that's for Micah, but that's maybe a little bit different. And then there's a trade thing again this year. And that to me is a little bit more of like, all right, to your point.
Yeah. What's really going on? Yeah. What's up with him? Cause they seem perfectly fine with giving Jordan Davis that money. And Davis was a guy who he had a late breakout on his rookie deal.
On the surface, be like, who would you rather give an extension to, Jalen Carter or Jordan Davis? I would think Jalen Carter would be the easy answer most of the time. So why was that not the case?
Right. That's why I'm like, what is going on there? So I think that's interesting. I also back channels. This is on the Philly end. This is not on the Green Bay end. Apparently they're asking for a 1+2 or a 1+ player. We don't have a 1 until 2028. So I don't know how that math works. I don't know if it ends up becoming 2 2s and a player. I mean, that means we're not picking in the first or second round until 2028, right? Like, I don't know if that's something that they can take on. I don't know if that player, like, is that Christian? Is it Jaden? Is it Wicks?
Devontae?
Is it Wyatt? Is it, yeah. So, like, I don't know. I recognize the Carter stuff as, like, semi-real. No one has explained it to me in a way that makes sense. Like, I understand conversations are happening. I don't understand that how this happens at all.
I don't either. Is there a world? I mean, if they need a one, is there a world where you can get like, you know, move your second and Jaden Reed up to get a one? Like, I don't know. None of it really passes the smell test. And with Green Bay already giving up that many picks for Micah, I know they just got, they're going to get 4 comp picks. They got a 4th for Rashawn, but we're still talking about premium picks here, first and second round picks. They've already traded away 2 firsts. To trade away again in that 2028 first, somebody's just going to outbid Green Bay. If they say, yeah, we'll give you a 2028 first, if any other team that's offering a 2026 or 2027, that's just going to go ahead of what Green Bay's offer is, which then basically makes them pay a tax on top of that 2028 first round pick because it's so far away. And again, now you have 3 straight years where you don't have a first round pick. I just don't see it. I'm not saying it's a no, but I'm saying it's at like the 1-2% chance at best range right now for me.
Someone's got to give me the trade that makes sense before I really start buying into that either side will say yes. Cause I can't think of a trade that both sides could say yes to at this point. Plus you're going to have to pay Carter, right? It's not like Eagles are eating the signing bonus, all this stuff. No, you're going to have to give him a fresh new mega deal too.
Has to include, somebody that you were planning on giving an extension to already, like a Wyatt, like a Watson, maybe like a Reed, depending if you were actually considering doing that or not. But it almost has to include somebody like that, all right, we're not going to give that extension anymore. And instead we're going to give that to Jalen Carter. And then, you're still losing picks on top of it. So yeah.
Right. Exactly. So if we trade Wyatt for him, we have a better 3-tech now. Great. We still need a nose tackle. And we still need
another 3-tech
play opposite of him, and we need a corner still. So like we're losing plugs and we're not filling holes, right? Which I don't like. That's not usually how the Packers approach the draft. Usually, like right now is when they're trying to plug holes, and then they go into the draft and they say we can take whoever the hell we want, or go on BPA, whoever we think is the better player. We're just going to go after him, and we're not really going to care about positional value.
What a crazy swing this would be if they just went, if they went full F them picks and we're going to just address needs via the draft. Talk about Goody just doing a complete 180 of, I guess he got the taste of like, hey, it was kind of fun giving away first round picks for Micah Parsons. Let's do that again. I'm addicted to this. I got a real big high off of doing it last time. I want that high again, but man, I just don't see it. We'll be right back. So I remember the very first time that drinking hit me differently. I was drinking responsibly the night before and we had young kids at the time, and I woke up with my son crying in bed and just didn't feel right. It was a very harsh reminder that after the age of 30, even responsibly drinking alcohol will make you feel less than 100% the next day. The more I looked into it, the more I realized that even a few alcoholic drinks will crush your sleep and your next day readiness. That's why I'm obsessed with Cheers Restore. Cheers Restore is a dual action after alcohol aid. Its ingredients support both your brain and your liver after consuming alcohol. Cheers was originally invented by a student at Princeton and was designed for how alcohol actually affects your body, not just dehydration. And you don't have to just take my word for it. Cheers has appeared on Shark Tank and is sold in over 30,000 stores, and they've already sold over 50 million doses. And Cheers is backed by doctors, PhDs, and over 1,000 verified clinicians who share it with their patients. Cheers promise is simple. All you do is take 3 capsules after your last drink or before bed, and you'll feel about 50% better the next day or your money back. That's why it's same night out, way better morning with Cheers. For a limited time, our listeners are getting 20% off their entire order by using code PACKADAY at cheershealth.com. Just head to cheershealth.com and use code PACKADAY for 20% off. After your purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them that PACKADAY sent you.
Yeah, I just can't imagine it. Okay, we laid out Woolen, potential way to spend that money. Yep. We talked about extensions and stuff too. Like, there's mouths to feed. If we want to spend that money, like, Christian, Tucker, Wyatt's number would actually probably drop.
For now.
One of the receivers, LVN, right? There's plenty of ways to spend the money on extensions. I think they're going to borrow money from the future to do it, or cap space from the future to do it. Yep. So we talked about those options. And then the other one I think is like the worst kept secret in the world is that they want Javon Hargrave when he's released on Wednesday. So, like, that's another way that you could spend money. They should have, I think, north of $20 million to spend right now.
It should be, yeah. It should be pretty easy, yeah. Easy north of 20, yeah.
Like, napkin, well, not even napkin. That's just, like, in my brain, right? Like, we should have north of $20 million to spend. I would think that, well, even if
it's a 1-year deal, it was around $13 million, and then you have the $20 million more from Gary, right? So, you should
be. Yeah, but we were over the... I can't even remember what situation we were in going
into. I think the bigger point here is whatever that number is, they can pretty much do whatever they want at this point in time. Like, if they want to
get one swing, doesn't matter what the one swing is, right? Once we start talking about multiple swings, I need to start saying
that's different. But I think they could do a Woolen and a Hargrave. I think they could do both of those things.
Probably. The question with the Hargrave is it a 1-year deal? You know, is it spread over multiple years on the cap, all that stuff?
They need to do a 1-year and spread it amongst 5. Go for it. Do what you need to do.
Huber just announced that Christian Welch has, in fact, re-signed on a 1-year contract.
There you go.
So, okay, we just went over free agency possibilities, how we can spend the big money, all that stuff, right? What the hell are we doing at linebacker? So we have 6 guys. We're oversigned at linebacker now. There's 2 routes this can go, and I guess it could be either route. Maybe they don't have a plan for it right now. I don't think that they're going to get rid of Hopper.
Yep.
Cooper is locked into his spot, and Hopper is Cooper's backup for the most part. He's a very small will linebacker. Is this a whoever doesn't win the starting mic job leaves town and becomes like a trade asset? Or is this, you know, between Franklin and McDuffie, right? Or is this a one of Neiman or Welch's isn't making this team?
I think that's
it. We're only going to have, I could see it happening both ways. And maybe, you know, maybe both of them happen. Maybe they only keep 4, right? Yep. And that's the way they roll with it. But
I think this is Neiman versus Welch for final spot and just giving you coverage, you know, for extra linebackers and just kind of giving you of like, again, we talked about it the other day. If they just want to be done with linebacker now, they don't have, that's one position they just don't have to touch.
You in said the draft. That yesterday before Neiman came back.
Yeah, before, so like, before Neiman and before Welch. Yes. So
Before Welch, my bad. We got the boys mixed up. My bad.
But yeah, either way, like they don't need to do much there. I just think from they'll probably grab a couple undrafted free agents to fill that out in camp. And that's they can just kind of be done with that spot for the time being. Again, like we talked about, unless they just get an unbelievable linebacker that falls to them and they just can't say no in the draft. He's just too good of an option. And then you figure out the rest later. I think this is just your sort of 6 guys plus 1 in Jamin Johnson that are going into camp. You probably are keeping the top 4 no matter what. And it probably comes down to, my guess is Neiman makes it as the 5th. And I bet you Welch has a great chance to be back on the practice squad.
Yeah. Cause you could always bring that guy up and play him. Special teams don't have to guarantee his, you know, full salary week 1, yada, yada, yada. You guys know.
You also get into some potentially fun things at roster cutdown of if you like really need a player elsewhere, like you're just in a complete 53-man roster crunch of you release Niemann and Welch together, knowing that they're both not going to get claimed, right? You know, you're going to get one of them back if you need to on the practice squad or whatever. And then you can, you know, get that player on the practice squad or do your math or, you know, gymnastics, and then, you know, sign one back if you need to or whatever. But it does give you a little bit of flexibility at the end of camp too. If like, oh, we got two of these guys, are both good at special teams, they're kind of the same guy, we can release both. We'll for sure get one of them back.
Yeah.
That's my nerdy brain.
But do you want to, I'm just staring at this list of free agents, man. Do you want to talk about,
just before we get there, just really any other thoughts on Elgton Jenkins being gone? It obviously opens up the cap. It was the, you know, this was the most logical.
It's a precursor to spend. And yeah, that's why I'm like, which way do they spend? And I'm hearing three different things. And one of them, the Carter one, doesn't make sense at all to me. So I'm like, they're probably going to do one of the other two.
I would fight back on the precursor to spend if it was just like, we've exhausted all avenues. We know we're not going to get a pick. We're going to let this guy seek free agency or whatever, except the Banks thing really doesn't make sense unless it's a precursor to spend. Yeah. Like, you've now
held on to him,
Gary, and you released Jenkins and you restructured Xavier McKinney. You have all the money that you need still to go out and do something if you want. The only reason that you would need to restructure Banks at this point in time is if you wanted to go out and spend. So to me, that's the bigger almost telltale sign at this point that they have something in mind.
And there's a lot of like guards on the market, but there's not a lot of centers. So like, I understand people are like, well, Elgton should move back to guard and all that stuff. There were only three free agent centers who ranked in the top 200 free agents in this class who actually hit free agency. Linderbaum got 50% more than the highest center in the league. And then May signed too. So it's Ethan Posich or basically nothing on the center market right now, in terms of a first year week one starter.
Unless somebody thinks they can, you know, Lloyd Cushenberry can play back like he did in Denver before his Titans, you know, career went to crap. There's not much.
Yeah. So you would think that if they were going to hold on to Elgton this long, like what's more time?
Yeah.
Like, why does it like center urgent or like center anxiety just happened? Right. So why would you not lean into that, at least until the new league year starts on Wednesday? Like, you don't have to get back to zero on the cap space until Wednesday. So I think it was a precursor to spend. How they spend, I don't know. It could be an extension. It could be one of those three avenues. I'm not totally sure. I know we're still talking about Woolen. I don't know what the number for Woolen is. The corner market kind of got pushed back on. Same thing with off-ball linebacker. It'll be interesting to see if teams are pushing back on prices, what happens with Rashid Walker, right? Because that's a big one, because he's the only tackle who's really supposed to get paid in this class. So if they push back, it's just one guy, right?
What did Illuminor get? He got
10.
Yeah, it's not much.
No, but he was like a borderline. He got 13. He was like he's kind of like a borderline guy too. Like, Rashid is sort of in a different class. Illuminor was like tackle four. I mean, we have Braden Smith and Taylor Decker in between them. It'll be interesting.
Thing would be that is our team's wondering if Trent is actually going to be available. Trent Williams, that is. If like, because that changes the calculus of who's your top tackle target very, very quick. If it's like, all right, am I going to give $21 million for Rashid or $32 million for Trent Williams or whatever it ends up being? Yeah. That changes the calculus on that very quick.
And I think that might have been a factor at off-ball linebacker too, with all these guys who got dumped right before free agency started and they were given the runway. So like,
there was, you know, there was even a little Fred Warner trade buzz, and then Greenlaw gets cut today.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, there's been a lot of movement. So like, I'm sure that's not what Devin Lloyd and Quay Walker's camp wanted to hear.
No.
Devin Lloyd's camp sincerely believed they were getting 20 and they got 15 off an all-pro. And that's what Jermaine Sherwood got off of starting for one season and then this past year being like top five in the NFL and like allowed coverage yards and stuff.
Free agency is such a drug. It is such a crazy, crazy drug, because you just, you know, you see certain deals like the Alante Taylor and even the Linderbaum one, and ones that just make you go, what in the hell just happened? And then you see other ones that you're expecting Devin Lloyd to maybe reset the linebacker market. And it's like, nope, he's actually getting Sherwood money. It just, it, you can't make heads or tails of this stuff.
Last year. Yeah, I don't know. So weird. So weird.
Like the fact that they couldn't get like 1 million more than what Sherwood got, like to get it to like 16 million. Like you would think that they'd be like, guys, we can't do less or we can't do the same. It's got to be at least a million more than Sherwood or something. It's just, yeah, so weird. You were going to say, like, looking at the top 200 board and like free agent options, I think that was the direction you were going to go in before I talked about Elgton Jenkins one last time. But were you going to look at the top 200?
Yeah, just to like talk about just general things that are happening right now.
Okay.
Tight end, nuked. Center, nuked. Nose tackle, it's like DJ Reader, Daquan Jones, and then potentially whenever Javon Hargrave gets to hit the market. Right, those are kind of like the big nose tackles right now. Edge rusher, I don't know if we're going to be in the edge rusher market. Once we bring in Cox, because we're up to five at that point. I don't know if you could carry six, and I don't know if you want to carry six going into the draft. You got to spend these draft picks on something, right?
Yep.
Off ball linebacker, I think we're out. Corner, it's like the only top 80 guys who are left are Tariq Woolen. And then Nashawn Wright, who's the guy who, you know, big ball production this past year, wasn't good in yards allowed per coverage snap, which is like the consistent number if you're looking at cornerbacks. Yeah. Like he was on the street in April, right? You could have had it. So like you're really hoping that a couple interceptions in 2025 means that he's going to keep that going on for a long time. Kind of fits the Packers mold. Woolen definitely does. Woolen's been way more consistent than Wright over his rookie contract. And then after that, you're talking about slot defenders, old guys, like really old guys. And then guys who were drafted high and are just bad and get to continue to hang around the league because they were drafted high. Like thinking about Greg Newsome specifically, like, yeah. I don't know why this guy is still a starter.
I don't know if he's going to be, but we'll see who signs him and how much they sign him for.
So, like, if the strategy is we either swing big, knock out the top comp pick, and we're just okay with that, I think it's Woolen. If it's lower down the line, I still think, like, a Cam Taylor-Britt, just because I know the team has been interested in him in the past. I think he makes sense to, like, offset the Enagbare pick.
Where's Delvin Tomlinson on your board? Or is he not there
he's
yet?
Not in the top two, yet? He's not in the top 200. Yeah, people don't have him ranked that high. So. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he had like an all-time bad PFF score. It was like in the 40s.
Not great year last year.
You can give him a look. I mean, the hope would be a bounce back, but apparently last year was like the worst season ever. Reader and Daquan Jones are both pretty good, though. So I would hope that the team is at least semi-interested in them. The Hargrave curveball, right, is always going to be, do they consider him a three-tech or do they consider him a nose when they're in base? I think when the team is in nickel, he'll play nose, that'll be perfectly fine. But yep. When the team is in base, what do?
You want him at three tech, I think.
I think so too, because he's really only been a nose last year. And that was like his age 30 season or something like that. And he played in a very weird, aggressive, stunt-heavy defense with Flores. So it's not like he was, you know, just asked like, hey, just take on double teams and stand your ground. That's not exactly how they play football there, even at the nose tackle position. So I would think he'd be a three tech. That's what he was under Gannon in the past. I could see us adding multiple guys. The kick to the nuts for me was when Tonga and
Lopez.
Roy Lopez ended up getting signed. I'm surprised Settle signed today. He's coming off of a foot surgery.
And he got more than Commanders Lopez, still, right?
I think so. And yeah, the Commanders gave him a bunch of money. The Commanders cleared all this cap space and like did the Biotish thing and told every reporter, like, this isn't going to be like what it was in the past for free agency. We're not going for volume. We're taking big shots. Andy, their signings have been Marcus Mariota, Tim Settle, and then Owe. Okay, I'll give you credit on Owe. One. Yeah, that's one. And you had, like, top five cap space coming into this. The Titans pissed away. I apologize if that gets bleeped. Titans, some bad money being spent by them. I think they're going to get fired in 2 years, and today is going to be a major reason why.
It was a brutal day for the Titans. I want to talk about that more in a little bit as well. I've got some takes on that, but I want to talk about the nose tackle market just a little bit more, just for a second, because it did get depleted, as you mentioned. There's not a whole heck of a lot left out there. Lopez gone, Tonga gone, two of the ones that we've kind of identified as, all right, those would make sense. Those are no longer options. We talked Tomlinson, we talked Reader. You mentioned what Daquan Jones was the other. We're just getting very short and thin on any sort of option at nose tackle right now. I don't even know the question. I'm starting to get a little concerned.
Yeah, and I know some people's reactions have been, well, so is today the only day you could sign players? And it's like, no, but like the nose tackle market is getting wiped out right now. Like more than half of them, more than half of the guys who are even like rotational guys, right? Like Tonga and Roy Lopez were not starters last year. Those guys were rotational guys. They played a lot, but they were rotational guys. There is the option for a trade, right? So that's something that could be floated out there. We have a lot of expiring contracts. We can move them around, right? We just did that with the Woolen trade to get Franklin at linebacker. There could be surprise cap casualties. Sometimes that happens, right? You never know exactly how teams are going to get back down to zero on Wednesday. That could be something that the team could pursue. But right now, I would probably be Easton just tweeted the Tariq Woolen thing. So that would be fun. People will believe me this time instead of putting my name in the paper. I would have a little bit of anxiety about nose tackle. I think this is a good nose tackle draft too. I know we haven't done the full deep dive and stuff like that. I've watched guys at the nose tackle position and have for months. Like there's guys like Capehart even on like day three that I still really like and I think could contribute year one. So like there are backstops here, but I don't love that on paper right now, Andy. The number one most played nose tackle for the Packers in 2025, returning for 2026, is Nasir Stackhouse, and we haven't added anyone.
I wonder if Slayton could become an option again. He did not have a good year in Cincinnati. I'm kind of surprised they haven't cut him already.
But well, like even the Cowboys didn't have cap space, and they just saw like they just got Gary.
Yeah,
I'm like how the hell is it? Like, I want to see how the Cowboys get to zero. Can you do it without getting rid of Kenny Clark? Right?
That'd be another one.
If we get the fourth round pick, Kenny Clark, in the Rashawn Gary trade, I'm adding more pluses to the grade, Andy. I'm adding way more pluses to the grade.
What would have been ultimately funny this offseason would have been if the Cowboys cut Kenny Clark and if they traded two firsts for Max Crosby. That would have been the funniest thing ever, that they basically traded Micah Parsons for Max Crosby. But even still, trading for trading Mike away, cutting Clark, and then bringing in Rashawn Gary is still very, very funny if that would end up being that.
So weird. So weird.
Also, I just wish that really in hindsight, not that I'm bummed about the trade in any way, shape, or form, but if they just could have taken Gary instead of Kenny Clark last year, that would have been a very nice change of pace that we could have had Kenny all year. And we would have been fine at defensive end for the most part without Rashawn. So that would have been nice.
The way we would have lost would have at least been different, right? It would have been different than we're the best defense in football for the first quarter and the worst defense in football from the second and thirds because our defensive line just wears out.
Yeah.
Because of the run. Yeah. It would have been different at least.
It would have. Yeah. I don't know how much different or how much better, but it would have been, I would have taken it. I'll just say that. Just going back to free agent options for just one moment. I did think you brought up a fun one in the live show. That was Keaton Mitchell. For those who don't know, Keaton Mitchell is like a 4.240, super blink of an eye, fast running back and kick returner. Baltimore Ravens, they did not tender him as a restricted free agent, which means he immediately becomes an unrestricted free agent and does not count against the comp pick formula. And Green Bay has sort of been sniffing around for another change of pace. We know Emmanuel Wilson is likely to be gone at this point in time. You've got Chris Brooks as your third down back. You've got Josh Jacobs as your starting back. But there's that sort of middle ground that I'm sure you would love to have, Marshawn Lloyd, but it's really tough to trust Marshawn Lloyd. So adding somebody like a Keaton Mitchell could make a lot of sense to give you a little bit more versatility in the running back room.
Yeah, and he's going to be cheap, right? Because we know if they wanted to tender him at 3.5 and then trade him, they could have tendered him at 3.5 and traded him. And they didn't pick up the tender, so he's not going to cost that much. So I don't even know if he's going to cost as much as Brooks. And Brooks got, 2.2? So, Keaton might be a guy you give the minimum $500,000 as a signing bonus and then just roll the dice and say, hey, one of you and Marshawn Lloyd are coming out as our number two ball carrier at a camp. And, you know, health and performance in training camp is going to decide that. So I think it makes a lot of sense. The Packers bring in a lot of former visitors, right? We talk about this all the time. You should have your ears up when you see one of these visitors going. If you don't track them, that's okay. I do. Go to APC, follow my Twitter, because as soon as one of these guys end up going, I have my ears up. That's like I scoured through cut down deadline stuff last year, Andy, right? And we were like, Josh Wiley might get cut. The Packers had Josh Wiley in. They like him. They bring him on the practice squad. He ends up moving up to the 53 roster during the season. Kennard was a guy who was on the roster bubble in Philadelphia, and I brought him up, and then we ended up trading a pick for him, right? So these guys like Keaton Mitchell should almost see them in a different tier, right? You're like, the Packers at some point were interested in this guy.
Yeah.
And they usually bring these guys back whenever they're available.
Very much so.
So yeah, keep an eye on it. I don't know that for sure, but like, I'd be kind of surprised if they didn't poke around on it. Apparently I think you read a tweet,
Giants.
When we were on the live stream and you were like Giants. And I was like, that makes sense. Cause Harbaugh just went from Baltimore to New York and they're signing a bunch of guys. Like I think since we ended, like they brought like Ardarius Washington, the safety, and a couple more. So yeah, I mean, they're just kind of importing Baltimore into New York right now.
The only thing I would say is Harbaugh never used Keaton a ton. It was always, I mean, obviously Derrick Henry's going to get it, but even Justice Hill ended up ahead of Keaton. So
yeah,
maybe Keaton's like, you know what? You didn't use me a ton in Baltimore. Maybe I'll go try something different. But yeah, if Green Bay would be involved, that'd be great. I think we kind of talked about the other ones. I did want to talk about the free agents that left and kind of looking at the comp pick stuff. Malik Willis goes to the Dolphins, 3 years, $67 million. Enigbari to the Jets, 1 year, $10 million. Quay Walker to the Raiders, 3 years, $40.5 million. From a comp pick standpoint, this wasn't exactly what we were hoping for. Romeo Doubs and Rashid Walker, as we're recording this right now, have not signed anywhere as of yet. But Willis is on that third to fourth round cusp. Enigbari, sixth round, I believe. Correct me if I'm wrong on that. And then Quay Walker on that fourth, fifth round cusp, but right now I think on the side of the fifth round.
I think Quay is firmly a fifth. Yeah.
Yeah.
So the reason some of these projections get wonky right now is we're also still including cap casualties as holds, and those APYs are counting. So basically what happens in the NFL, okay, this is how the comp system works. It goes reverse order in order of the player's APY. Right. So, Andy, we're paying you $1 billion per year. Right. There are 1,700 players below you in terms of the NFL salary pecking order. Okay. You're going to get 1,700 points for that. Right. For every player underneath you, you get a point. The other thing is on a scale of 0 to 100 in terms of playing time, you're going to get a point for every snap or every percentage that you play on offense or defense. Okay. And you combine those two, and then there's like awards and stuff like that. They don't really matter that much. You don't have to pay attention to it. But that's kind of how they rank players, okay, up and down. The cutoffs are the top 5% get a comp pick third if you don't offset it. Top 10%, it's a fourth. Then it goes to 15th, I believe 25th, and then 35th, okay? The problem right now, we're ranking all these players, and the cap casualties are still counting in the APYs right now. So some of these guys are going to move up a little bit, which is why I like to cross-reference with what those dollar values in terms of the APY meant for comp picks the previous year. So Malik should, yes, be on that third, fourth bubble.
Okay.
Do not be surprised if after the cap casualties start getting calculated on Wednesday, he ends up being a third, and then more guys sign or sign extensions during the season, and he ends up dropping down to a fourth. With that being said, with the playing time thing, unless he goes down in like September, he should jump back into a third. So mentally, just think we're getting a third round pick from Malik Willis, as long as we don't offset it. Unless he just like blows his ACL out in September. Okay. And then it'll be a fourth. Based off of last year's numbers, I for sure think Quay is going to be like, he's firmly fifth. Like, I think he probably would have had to be like 15 million per to kind of be in that cusp of bumping up into the fourth, which is around lower than we thought, but linebackers went for a lot less than they did last year, which again, weird. Caught these guys by surprise too, right? Enagbare firmly a sixth. I think Walker, as long as he gets the 20 and a half that Dan Moore Jr. got, that should be a third.
Okay.
And again, doesn't go down with the injury in like September or something like that. And then Romeo, I truly think can go fourth or fifth either way. Okay. Like he should be right on that fringe. Cause I know last year they were looking for the Khalil Shakir deal and that was like 13 and a third or something like that. That would be around the Quay Walker range. But then like what happens when Alec Pierce now is making like damn near $30 million per year? Does that push the rest of the wide receiver market up? If he can cross that 15 barrier, right? I think that's when we start looking at it and we're like, oh, okay, this might be a fourth round pick then.
So best case scenario is third, fourth, fifth. And worst case scenario is third, fourth, fifth, fifth. Assuming no offsets.
Yes. Yeah. Unless God hates us and both Malik and Rashid go down with like knee injuries in September.
Yeah, fair.
Both of those can be fourths. Yeah.
fourth, fifth, fifth would be the probably worst case scenario.
Yeah.
Well,
so
give me those third round picks, damn it. Especially if Chicago is going to get their 2 third round picks for the GM signing eventually too, which we haven't talked about, but yeah.
Man, there's got to be better. Has to be a better way to incentivize not hiring your friends in the NFL and just looking for outside voices than what the NFL is doing right now with head coaches and general managers.
Totally agree. We'll be right back. The other comp pick thing, Green Bay only got 1 seventh round pick this year in the comp pick formula. So that was the other thing as well. They did not get the second seventh round
pick. Yeah, they didn't get the Mr. Irrelevant pick. Yeah, that was the hotly debated one. The cutoff, people weren't sure exactly where the cutoff was. It hadn't been this close before. At the end of the seventh round. So we got the seventh round pick for Josh Myers. We offset the TJ Slayton pick and the Eric Stokes pick last year, which I think would have both been like six rounders and we offset them by signing Aaron Banks and Nate Hobbs, which I'm sure Packers fans will love to hear that we lost draft picks for that. But we were supposed to, in some projections, get 2 sevenths for losing Josh Myers and losing Eric Wilson. We got the Josh Myers pick. We did not get the Eric Wilson pick. If we would have gotten the Eric Wilson pick, it would have been like 99% likely that it would have been the Mr. Relevant pick. So we lost out on that one.
Damn it. Would have you get the jump start on undrafted free agency. You get the undrafted free agent of your choice.
We're going to have plenty of picks on day three and day two for Goot to have to worry about over the next couple of years. So he'll be fine.
Very, very true. DeShon Ryan contract details we got.
Yeah.
So $6.67 million against the cap in year one, $12.67 million against the cap in year two, $13.67 million against the cap in year three, or $3.67 million in dead cap hit in year three if they get rid of them at that point in time. Obviously, there could be extensions. There could be a variety of different things, but that's what we're kind of looking at right now for DeShon Ryan. The interesting aspect of Ryan's deal, of course, 3 years, $33 million, but Cade Mays goes for about eight-ish, a little over $8 million per year. Adish goes for $10 million a year. We knew that already. And then DeShon Ryan at $11 million per year. So we kind of have a baseline there. It'll be kind of interesting to track those three players through the course of the next 3 years to see who had the best deal and outcome of that.
Here is a way to think about free agency and the center market. And we could talk about the entire market because it wasn't a very big market, right? Andy, let's say you're a team that didn't want to spend the money that it would take to get Tyler Linderbaum, right? You want a center. You want a people mover. The best one available was DeShon Ryan if we didn't sign him. He's better than Mays at that, right? So if you're a team that prioritizes that, I think that was a driving factor. I read a damn text from a guy who works in Carolina on your show, I think last week, right, where we talked about Mays, and they're like, he was cut last year, right? He didn't start this past season. as a starter, right? He was on a practice squad in 2024. So I don't know if the NFL was as hot on Mays as the media was. I think they just kind of saw starts and were like, oh, this is a young guy with a lot of recent starts. But he was functionally in the same position that Ryan was. And you can even look at like PFF and stuff, and they'll be like, yeah, Ryan is the best, better run blocker out of the two, right? Even PFF had Ryan graded as above average run blocker. So if you're a team that was in the run blocking center market and you didn't want Linderbaum, that's what drove the Ryan price up.
Yeah.
I'm not too worried about it. If you look at the Ryan deal on paper, they front loaded it in terms of cash, back loaded it in terms of cap hits. So he's only going to carry a $6.7 million cap hit this year, but in cash, he's getting paid $14 million. Functionally, this is a 1 year, $14 million contract with team options for $9 million in 2027 and $10 million in 2028. Again, I think by 27 and 28, once the, you know, fallout of this Linderbaum deal starts to happen, those numbers are going to end up looking really good. The other thing I didn't remember, like, Ryan's only 25 right now. Like, there's draft picks who are going to, like, as old as Sean Ryan, which I know fans are mad about. They're like, why do you keep developing these young players? That's the business the Packers are in, right? Yeah. I think Akeem Mezidor, he might be a first-round pick this year. And I think Lucas Van Ness is younger than him, for perspective.
That's crazy.
Yeah, like, that's a real thing that's happening. So, like, age matters a lot. Let me tell you, as someone who talks to some of these NFL people, like, you talk about draft prospects, you talk about free agency. One of the first thing that comes up consistently is age. Consistently. They value age. And the Packers are perfectly fine gobbling up young players, hoping that they develop, and then paying them on the second deals, even if they just started catching wind in year three or year four. They're cool with living in that world.
So. Big time.
Yeah, not too worried about the Ryan deal. Pretty much what I expected. I just wanted to know if there were guarantees for him in 2027. Nope. If they want to, they really can pivot and move off of him after a year. So,
yep. I to me, it's totally fine. And I have no issue with it being over Biotish or over Cade Mays. No issue whatsoever. And I don't think it's an overpay. I think it was right around what
we... Biotish is interesting to me. And it doesn't seem like the Packers are spending right now anyway, right, on compensatory free agents. Maybe they will on like a Tariq Woolen. Maybe they will on a Cam Taylor-Britt. Maybe they will on one of these nose tackles, but they haven't done it yet. The Biotish thing, the only interesting aspect of it to me is if you make the case, hey, you took a comp pick swing off of the board. Because if you would have let Ryan walk, right, you would have been able to get Biotish in as a cap casualty who did not count against you. And you would have been able to take two swings and still on compensatory free agents and still kept four picks for 2027. So I think that's an interesting aspect. I see almost no one who's complaining about the signing making it. So I might be the only one who's even thinking about that angle.
No, it's a good thing to bring up. But yeah, either way, kind of like you said, I outside of the comp pick formula, to me, no issue. And as long as they don't sign two free agents and lose a comp pick because of it, then, like, again, the only conversation there would probably be Biotish versus Ryan, which, again, it's not moving the needle one way for me, one way or the other.
I also wouldn't get too hung up on the center market. The center market is lagging. Everyone knows the center market has been lagging. Kingsley Enagbare isn't even promised a starting job with the Jets. He got $1 million less per year than Sean Ryan did. And we're talking about a starting center who's going to play every play and a rotational defensive end, right? So just something to keep in mind.
Couple other quick ones before we get out of here. Alec Pierce sets the Watson market, 4 years, $114 million. Just a massive contract. And if you're hoping to get Christian Watson on the cheap, any idea of that is out the window.
Yeah, now the Packers have a decision, right? You pay the $29 million per year. You let him walk for absolutely nothing, or you trade him.
Yep.
And there's some people who don't want to hear any of that. They don't want any of those options. They want them to sign back for $5 million a year. Not happening, folks.
No.
Not happening. Tutu can't make game day rosters. He's getting $10 million a year. You can make a ton of money being an average young player in this league. And Christian is better than that. So he's going to get paid.
Even if he took a hometown discount, even if he said, I want to stay in Green Bay, I'm willing to take a discount, 4 years, $100 million is, I think, the absolute, absolute cheapest that you are getting Christian Watson at.
What was the Jameson Williams contract? Because that was the first
3 years, 67. 3 years, 67. I have that like ingrained in my head. I could be wrong, but I think it's 3 years, 67.
3 years, 80.
Oh, you're right.
It's 26.7.
Oh, that's
like
right.
That's as low as I could see them doing it. And that being, if you don't have to risk going into free agency like Pierce did, right? You say, hey, we'll shave off 1.5 APY and you can get it right now instead of having to play this season healthy. But you probably have to get that done before he steps on a practice field. And he's probably going to hold out, honestly.
67 was the guaranteed money on that deal. 3 years, 67 guaranteed, 83 overall. So I'm an idiot, but at least
having. So I think, speaking of guarantees, I think Ryan, even though he signed for a higher APY, he got way less guaranteed than who was it?
Biotish. I thought maybe it was McGovern. I thought Biotish even got a little bit more.
I'm not sure. So that's another interesting thing. So like those guys are signing 3 year deals, but they're 2 real years and an option year. Ryan signed a 3 year deal. That's a 1 year deal with 2 options for the team, basically, in terms of how it functions.
Biotish got $10 million guaranteed. So that was very similar. See if we have Cade Mays numbers yet. We do not have Cade Mays. No, we got $14 million guaranteed for Cade Mays. So Cade Mays got less money by far, but got more guaranteed, which is interesting too.
So here's this. McGovern got 13, so $2 million more APY, right? He got 32 million guaranteed. He got, what, 3 times as much guaranteed as Ryan did?
Jesus.
So, yeah, these contracts are different. You got to look at the contracts, and I know it sucks because you can't just consume it with just one number. The NFL makes it hard for fans and stuff like that, but, like, teams committed a lot more to some of these centers than Ryan, even though you see the APY number and it's pretty high.
Yeah. Interesting. Like I said, all of those will be worth kind of keeping an eye on. And yeah, Christian Watson too, whether, you know, what happens with him after the Alec Pierce market breaks everything, that will be very interesting also.
I think you got to pay him or you got to trade him. I don't even think he's going to step on a practice field until, I mean, maybe it's an Elton thing where he comes back in training camp or something like that. But if you were advising him, no.
You want the deal.
Yeah. We got to get a contract done. Sorry, bud.
Potential hold-in candidates. We talked about Nixon on the show. That's a weird, you know, one. Devontae Wyatt's a sort of weird one. Christian Watson is one that you could see. I don't think Jaden Reed would throw I don't know. Jaden Reed's another interesting one, too.
We have a lot of expiring deals, Andy. This is why I said 26 is kind of a more of a
Tucker Kraft.
Get your house in order.
Tucker Kraft could be another. And that might be hard to tell because he's actually coming off the ACL. So I don't know how much holding in he can do. He can't practice until he gets healthy from the ACL injury. But yeah, all those are going to be very interesting. NFC North, Bears, Neville Gallimore, Devin Bush, Kobe Bryant got one of the top safeties on the market, if not the top safety. Lions, Cade Mays, Larry Borum, Vikings, James Pierre. I don't think I'm missing anybody. Correct me if I'm missing anybody.
Not that I've seen. Well, I mean, they got the Eric Wilson contract done yesterday.
Yes. So re-signing. Sorry, these aren't including re-signings. Right. These are just new players added. But nothing that is overly concerning to me, if I'm being honest. If Detroit's going to put Larry Borum as a starting tackle. Well, you also, I don't know if you saw, but they're moving Penei Sewell to left tackle. They're going to put Sewell at left tackle.
Did not see that.
Yeah, that's what I read. So unless I mess that up somehow, I think Sewell's going to left tackle.
Yeah, I'm not worried about the Bears. I think they're kind of treading water. Minnesota's tearing it down pretty obviously. They have to. They've overspent. Their window was the past couple of years, and they missed the playoffs. Just in terms of how they scheduled their contracts and stuff like that. And then Detroit. I just think their offensive line is decaying, and that's not a great sign if I'm a Lions fan.
Detroit Free Press. I guess it's more of a question, but it sounds like there is some conversation of potentially moving Sewell to left tackle. So I don't know if it's finalized yet. Okay, so it was Pro Football Talk, so we'll leave it to Pro Football Talk. Detroit signing a former Miami offensive tackle, Larry Borum, points to Penei Sewell moving him from right tackle to left tackle, replacing Taylor Decker. So again, it's more speculative, it seems like, but it sounds like there is some conversation of potentially him going to left tackle. But yeah, that's where the NFC North is at. I'll go first on this one because I'm putting you on the spot. I'm going to give my best deal of the day and worst deal of the day. And then if you have one to chime in on, you can go for it afterwards. My worst deal of the day is Alante Taylor to the Titans. We talked about that on the live show. I just cannot quite get over that one. And also, Justice, it sounds they signed Joshua Williams in outside corner.
They signed three of them.
Alante might be in the slot, which makes that even more crazy. But either way, Alante Taylor is my worst deal of the day. I didn't love almost, yeah. You know, you get to first day of free agency and every number is just like, oh God, that's a lot of money. Oh God, that's a lot of money. Ooh, I'm not sure if I would do that deal. I will say actually too, I do actually like the James Pierre deal for Minnesota as much as it pains me to say that. It's a very minimal deal. He played pretty well in Pittsburgh. I know that they're super high there, but they got him on a value deal. They did well last year with Isaiah Rodgers. I think they paid Rodgers a little bit more if I remember correctly, but either way, they did pretty well with that. I could see James Pierre being that again. And then I do actually like the Devin Lloyd at 3 years, 45 for Carolina. I think they did a good job there to get an all-pro linebacker for 15 mil per year.
Yeah, I think it was... I think the Rams, the contract for Jalen Watson, I think that makes a lot of sense. He got, what, 17 when all the corner... Paulson Adebo was an average corner coming off of a broken leg last year and got 18 million per because everyone got 18 million per. And Jalen Watson got 17. I don't really get that. Alante Taylor was the only guy who crossed the 18 million per mark. And he's been a bad slot slash outside move around guy his whole career. I don't get it. The Titans signed 270 pound dudes and then either set the slot market outside of Kyle Hamilton or made Alante Taylor one of the highest paid cornerbacks in the league. Neither one of those is a good sign for me.
No.
I have more bad numbers than good numbers. Honestly, like the nose tackle numbers, I would have pretty much done any of them. Like I would have done Onyemata at the 10. I would have done the Tonga number. I would have done the Roy Lopez number. I'm kind of bummed. I feel like they're putting a lot of eggs into the Hargrave basket. I hope no one comes in, swoops in for a trade or something like that, or outbids them on the open market.
For I'm sorry, which one?
For Hargrave.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It feels like Hargrave or bust almost at the moment to some extent on the defensive line.
I mean, Reader is out there. Daquan Jones is out there. I think Daquan was still in Tennessee when Matt was there. So there might be a little bit of a connection there.
Okay.
There's still options. There's the trade market, all that stuff. But it is making me anxious to see the nose tackle market being one of the market that moves and corner being the other one. And we're not involved in either of them. And I'm like, uh-oh, my guys, my players.
Defensive line is the one that still is giving me a little anxiety at the moment. I would love, you know, if they get Reek Woolen, cool. Like that's a cool signing for the secondary. I'm interested, but, and again, I'm not going to have anxiety on March 10th, because we've got a long way to go. You know, Micah Parsons wasn't acquired until right before the start of the season. Malik Willis wasn't acquired until right before the start of the season. Like you can still find guys, but man, defensive linemen are tough to find. But yeah, we're not even through, or we're barely through day one of free agency as we're recording this. We still have a draft to go. There's still trade periods. There's a lot of time left, but yeah, defensive tackle and nose tackle are giving me a little bit of anxiety at the moment.
There are people who doubt how much players cost and are surprised for some reason because they don't look up the numbers consistently. Here's a perspective on the Christian Watson thing. Christian Watson, even though he missed like the first half of the season with the torn ACL, had 611 yards. Okay. Tyquan Thornton just signed a $14 million contract as a wide receiver. He's never had more than 400 yards in a single season, and he has 800 yards in his entire career. He's getting 14. Like, you don't have to – people make it seem like you either have to be good or you have to be you have to be good and healthy to get money in the NFL. Not true.
It's 2 years for a max of $14 million. So it's only
– Oh, I misread. I thought it was 1 year. I saw 1 year.
Yeah, no, it looks like 2 years, $11 million with a max of $14
million. So it's pretty similar to, like, the – so, like, let's look up the 2-2 deal, right?
2-2 was 1 year 10, I think.
2-2 was 1 year 10. And yeah, and for the $10 million this year, he had six catches. Good God. Good.
Yeah. I actually don't hate 2 years 11 for Thornton for what he brought to the Chiefs last year. That's not a terrible deal.
He's a speedster.
Yep.
Tutu made well $1.7 million per reception last season. Good work money. If you can find it.
Yeah. I think, Justice, that's – though I was going to ask you what deals you would have done for Green Bay, but it sounds like the nose tackle ones were probably the
noses. I think, like, I would have poked around on the Job thing because Job got re-signed at, like, what? Like, $7 million per from the Seahawks?
Yeah. It was right around there. Or was it 10?
24 by 7 or 24 by 3. That's what, 8?
Eight.
So you got $8 million per. You could have brought in Josh Job, offset the Kingsley and Ibarra pick, still had all four of the comp picks. That's one. I mean, that's really it. I would have looked at, like, Job. I'd still take the swing on Tariq Woolen. I would have thought about taking the swing on Jalen Watson, depending on what the team thinks their cap situation is going to be like moving forward, if they're going to spend on guys like Hargrave, if they're going to, you know, depending on what they're going to do, right? That's kind of it so far. And the nose tackles, like you mentioned already. So,
yeah. The one thing I'll say, I saw a lot of people like, well, why wouldn't they just do that Roy Lopez deal? Which I probably would have done, to be clear. I think Green Bay just sees it as like, all right, what's the win total difference of if we just get a, you know, fifth round pick at defensive tackle or roll with, you know, Jonathan Ford-esque players? What's the win total difference on the season between that and Roy Lopez? Like, is it going to affect you in a significant enough way? And if not, are we better just banking that money and spending it on players that actually do matter towards win totals and just getting replacement level players at that position? I'm not saying I agree with that assessment. I think having good players is a thing, but I wonder if Green Bay looks at it a little bit that way of like the difference between our wins and losses this year is not going to change based on Roy Lopez over whatever replacement level defensive tackle we can find.
I mean, that or they think guys might be coming, right? That could be whether it's the draft, the trades, or the cap casualties. I mean, I came on here, yesterday at this point? Yeah, yesterday's episode, right? And was like, I kind of think they're going to be more active on Wednesday than they are on Monday. And we're probably trending toward that right now.
Yeah. Justice, it's been a day. It's been a fun day. You were around for a ton of it, covering it with you know, with me here on Pack a Day. I appreciate you a ton. Stop by for a couple hours on the live show at least. And you did an hour last night with Perry and I, another hour today, breaking everything down. I cannot thank you enough. Any final thoughts on day one of free agency?
No, just I hope we get a nose tackle eventually. That's my big worry right now.
They will. We'll find something.
They're gonna. I know they're gonna.
Just don't know what
I just would like to have it now so I can get Stackhouse off of line one on my depth chart.
It stands out. It's an eyesore. Mm-hmm. There's no two ways around it. Again, I cannot thank you enough. AcmePackingCompany.com. Follow Justice on social media at JUMOSQ. The stuff that they're consistently and constantly putting out over at Acme Packing Company is just fantastic. So again, if you're not checking it every single day, you are doing yourself a disservice. Of course, make sure to check us here at the Pack a Day podcast as well. 365 days a year. And of course, Justice is joining us a ton. Well, I'm sure if we get breaking news, you never know, Justice could pop in at any time, but otherwise we'll be back talking next week. I'll be, of course, back tomorrow. We will talk to you guys soon, but until next time, and as always, go Pack Go.